Coming to you from the Coachella Valley in Southern California, in association with Anchor.fm, welcome to Is This Your Playlist? With your hosts Kedrick and Rissa. My name is Joey, and this evening's playlist will begin now.
Hey, welcome to Is This Your Playlist podcast, ITYP for short. I am Kedrick. I am your host. Risa is sick this week, so I have enlisted the use of my really good friend Steve from Australia. Hi, Steve.
G'day, g'day. How you going?
He loves to do that, listeners. He loves to be all Australia. He's actually in Sydney right now, and it's Friday night.
Oh, an hour and a half away from Sydney.
Oh, okay. You're Sydney close.
Sydney adjacent.
It is tonight when I'm recording, it's Friday the 13th. Where Steve is right now, it's Saturday the 14th.
Yes. Afternoon. Both, Saturday afternoon.
But we're both on the same screen, which is like sort of like the Lake House movie.
Yeah.
But not. So thank you for stepping in to do this one with me. Tonight's episode is basically the idea that I had was if I was 5 years older, .. And it's basically like the shows that we missed and some of the ones we loved. And Risa and I were going to do this and she got sick and Steve stepped up. And I think did I message you like day before yesterday, probably? Or yesterday?
Probably. Who knows? The days are all bleeding together at the moment, but that's okay.
Unfortunately, where Steve is, they are on a very new lockdown.
Yes, this is actually my first lockdown. So we did go into lockdown last year when the old Rona first reared her ugly head. But because I worked in retail and it was deemed an essential service, I actually worked all throughout it. So... cop the abuse, all that kind of stuff. This time around, Delta Dawn has got everyone shaking in their boots. So 460 cases in the state today. essential. I'm no longer essential. So I am, this is our second, we've only just started our second week. So look, I'm not hating it. Not yet.
I mean, are you getting stuff done that you kind of put off that now you kind of have time to do, or are you just having a staycation? Come on.
Can I tell you, first week I took it very, very easy. My sleep pattern went out the door straight away. I'm a notoriously bad, bad sleeper. I'm a night owl, so I'm up at very odd hours. First week I was up till 4:30 a.m. every day. Going and then sleep until 11, get up, go again. You know, it's okay. But then this week, actually the last couple of days, what have I done? I've done over 2 hours of pre-recording for a podcast. Yes, for my podcast yesterday. I've done over an hour live show. Yes. That was the day before. Over an hour live show yesterday, and today we did a Friday the 13th live show, which went for over an hour, and I'm doing your show in the afternoon, so podcast central at the moment, but you know.
Well, that's cool. You know what? it hasn't gotten bad here. It's bad, but it's not bad, but I mean, the mask mandate just like was re-established. And so many people are kind of pissed off about it, but it's like, dude, just do it. You know, I told somebody the other day, I said, look, I don't care about anything but going to England in November to see Steps. And I'm so close. And I swear, if the Delta thing, Delta Dawn, you called it. if that prevents me from going, I'm going to be really upset. But, and I know a lot of people threw their masks out. Well, it's like, well, you better buy some more. I didn't. You probably can't. Well, I don't know if you can see it, like that big pile.
Yep.
Under the picture. I can see it. That's masks. Yeah.
Mask for mask, hey?
Hey, it's like buy one, get six free. I love that. So let's hope that I don't think we in America, I don't think we can handle another one. I mean,
well, you got, it's very funny. We were in completely different situations 12 months ago. Australia was like living free, going, yeah, woohoo, nothing wrong. And you guys were in the thick of it. And now we're in the thick of it. And you guys, like, Lollapalooza just happened, like, all this kind of stuff. Like, there's live events, all that kind of stuff that is just a distant memory in Australia at the moment. If you had plans, they're gone, I think, for the rest of the year. I think we will recover by December, but yeah.
By December, really? Wow. They've like projected it that far in advance.
We are so far behind on vaccination, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's another
thing. We went from top of the world dealing with COVID to right down the bottom because of look, without getting too governmental and, you know, political, a big bungle on the Australian government part hedging their bet on AstraZeneca.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned it on the World of Music podcast, you know, towards the end, I just said, you know, I'm not a political person. I don't talk about this stuff, but please get vaccinated and please wear your mask because it's like, we need to do it. Just do it, you know? And I haven't gotten too much blowback from that yet, but whatever.
It'll come.
So anyway, well, let's talk about a couple of new things that I have on my list. Brand new steps.
Yes. Okay. Polarizing. Okay. Polarizing.
I take me for a ride.
Yes.
When I first heard it, the first thing I thought was, I love the music. I love how it sounds. And I listened to the words, and I'm telling you, Steve, they stole my journal. Because, and I, you know, here's the thing. I'm not afraid to say it. When I listened to it, I was like, it sounded like a fight that I had with my ex.
Yeah.
It's like, it's about like a narcissistic person and, you know, and it's like, I love it. So people on the internet sites and stuff are just like, they're just trashing it. It's like, dude, it's amazing. It's the darkest thing they've ever done. And the darkest lyrics, I wonder how a dance routine is, because like Story of a Heart dance routine was kind of, they didn't need one. They could have just sat in chairs.
I have some inside information on that.
Oh, I love inside information. Go.
So they did a concert, a very intimate concert for about 50 people in Manchester a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Radio 2 competition. Lisa said that they do not have choreography for it yet.
Okay.
So, which makes me think that it's not actually a single. I think it might be a buzz track.
Which is okay, but like...
Which is fine.
I mean, the only thing that they put out that I wasn't happy with was To the Beat of My Heart. That was the only one.
Shut up. No.
Did you really like that? I just... Loved it. I don't know. There was something about it that was just... But...
Are you one of those people that likes Clouds, though?
You know what? I don't dislike Clouds, but it's not. I mean, it's not my fit. Stop. It's not.
Clouds is the worst song they've recorded since they've come back. And I'm even letting, you know, the Forgotten Album in
over
that.
Neon Blue. I'm just kidding.
I love Neon Blue.
I know, that's why I said that.
I'm with you. You're in the minority there. The Steps loves Neon Blue too. So
I know you say you're in the minority because you like Neon Blue and Say You'll Be Mine. That's what you said on the episode.
That's it.
So so they released the track listing. Now remember when it first came out, I said to you, hey, you know what, there's two tracks that they didn't list. I said, I think they're going to do a 5-star. And you were like, no, I don't think so. I mean, and I know your voice doesn't sound like this. No, I know. I don't think so. Because that was like 2 albums ago. And I was like, and I saw those 3 words that I did not want to see. The slightest touch. Why? It's so lazy, the slightest touch.
They want to But do you know what? I listened to Five Star's version. I listened to Louise's version because Five Star were never a thing here. Five Star weren't, and Louise not really either. But you can hear Steps do, like, you can go, all right, that's Lisa. That's Faye. Lee's going to do the talking bit. Claire's going to come in and go, ah! Like she normally does. It Steps by numbers. Like,
and Hitch.
Hitch will, you know, probably sing part that's out of his range and we'll have to lower live.
I mean, honestly, like when they said it during Tears on the Dance Floor era, they were thinking about it. Okay, I would have liked Can't Wait Another Minute. That's the one that I would have wanted because they could have done a really cute dance routine. I thought it was going to be System Addict, to be honest with you, or Whenever You're Ready. But Slightest Touch, you know what? I did it. I put it out in the universe, and that's what they did.
There you go. Well, the rumor of Slightest Touch has been around for 8. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a Tears on the Dance Floor leftover that they really like, and they've probably rejigged a little bit to fit this new, like, 80s synth pop disco weirdness that they're adopting.
Yeah. Well, it shall be released September 10th, so we will find out. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to start the shows we missed and the ones we loved here on Is This Your Playlist podcast with me and my guest host, Steve. So stay tuned.
Hey, this is Kedrick, and you're listening to Is This Your Playlist?
Welcome back to Is This Your Playlist podcast. I am Kedrick, I'm your host, and Risa this week is out sick, so I have enlisted the use of my friend Steve from Australia. Hello, Steve.
Steve from down under. How are you?
And Steve was my guest host for my Steps episode, and then we did a double part Down Under, right?
We did.
Yes. I think you were surprised that I knew a couple of them. Like, I think you didn't know that I knew about 5 Seconds of Summer because I said it and you're like, oh, you were so surprised.
I just didn't pick you for a 5 Seconds of Summer fan. That's all.
I told you, if it's marketed to 14-year-old girls, I'm all about it.
I'm all about that, yeah.
But I didn't really like them big time until Youngblood.
Yeah, well, the world didn't really like them.
So tonight we are talking about the shows that we missed and the ones that we loved. So basically this was to kind of outline, you know, some of the shows that I missed when I was younger. And the original title was If I Was 5 Years Older, because I do feel like if I was 5 years older, I would have been able to go and see these shows that I was talking about. So we're going to talk about the first show that we ever saw, and I'm going to let Steve go first because he thinks that I may not know who they are. So
you may not. Okay, the first. Okay, there are two. So one, the first show that I remember going to was actually there was a show in Australia called Young Talent Time. And Young Talent Time was the breeding ground for one Miss Danny Minogue, one Miss Tina Arena, some very famous Australian people, Jane Scully, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was kind of like a little bit like a mix between, for the Americans, Star Search and the Mickey Mouse Club.
Okay.
Yeah. So they had like a regular team of young performers that once they got to 17, 18, they aged out, and the competition version of it would find new members as well as different talent, and they'd win stuff like that. I went to their concert at a theme park here in Australia that is now sadly defunct, called Australia's Wonderland. It was huge. I remember my dream was to be in Young Talent Time because in my previous life, I was a performer. So I was a singer and a dancer. And all I wanted to do was be on Young Talent Time. That would have been like my my go-to amazingness, but sadly that was not meant to be because the show got cancelled before I was old enough to even contemplate auditioning. I think I was like 6 or 7 when it finished, so I was nowhere near it. So I remember that one, but the first actual proper music act that I went to see was an Australian girl band by the name of Girlfriend. Is he stumped? Look.
Oh, I'm sorry. All I could hear was crickets.
I went and saw, yes, an Australian girl band called Girlfriend. So they were meant to be. Well, actually, not even meant to be. They predate the Spice Girls.
Okay.
Think fashion-wise, think Blossom. So lots of big folded hats and sunflowers and overalls and stuff like that, and denim. They were kind of like 90s R&B up-tempo pop. And I think you will actually love them.
Because yeah, you know what I like.
Yeah, I think you will love them. So you'll probably need to check them out. They had 2 albums, and then their lead singer, Robin, actually left the group. So they continued as GF4. And after the rebrand, they kind of grew up and got a bit sexy. And for a time, one Miss Belinda Chappell from Australia's prominent music girl band group, Bardo, was actually a member of GF4 just before they got dropped from their record label. So there's a little bit of, you know, insider trading in girl groups, kind of like the Atomic Kitten roster in the UK. We kind of had that moment as well. But yeah, Girlfriend had some huge hits here in Australia. We went to a local kind of like, I guess, workers' clubs here. So it's gambling and food and that kind of stuff. And like they've got auditoriums. So I guess the closest thing would be like a casino. And I remember sitting on a metal bar pole watching the concert.
Okay.
And I think that would have been around 1992. So I would have been 8. And yeah, I vividly remember actually like the first time putting together someone that I listened to on a CD or a cassette. And seeing that back at me live. That's the first thing I remember. They were great. They were fantastic dancers. The singing, I didn't realize how segregated the singing roles were. Like there was a bit of the steps, previous steps mandate going on there where some of the girls are just there to stand and click and dance around and, yeah, interesting. But yeah, very good concert. Great music. Even I put them on the other day, a couple of weeks ago. I went, I haven't listened. Do these songs still stack up? And they do. So if you haven't, America, checked out Girlfriend. I don't know that you'd be able to on Spotify over there, but find your way to Girlfriend. If you like 90s pop and that kind of, you know, that kind of crossover dance R&B kind of stuff they had going on in the
artists. Hold on. Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. Wait a second.
Oh.
Oh, wait a second. Hold on. Wait, are they? They're not. Oh, wait, no, that's K-pop. I don't think it's them.
You might not find them. But they were pretty eclectic. So they had some poppier stuff. They had some more like Take It From Me was probably their biggest hit. That was their debut, and that's pop-tastic. And then there's a song called Bad Attitude that's got like a rock vibe to it, but it's still rock pop. They did a lot of house dancing. Yeah. I think you're going to dig it.
Got it?
That's them.
I love Spotify.
I think you're going to dig it. Think like, I think think early Janet Jackson.
Make It Come True is the album.
Yeah.
Why do I need another girl group? I mean, I don't know if I need another girl group.
Well, they are long defunct. They're not going to release anything new. So you're safe. It's yeah. Two albums. You'll be right.
I mean, I was the same way with Girl Thing. Like when they were about to come out again, it was like, I remembered them. I had two of their songs, but like, I went kind of crazy with Girl Thing. It's like, and you know, I'm watching the TV, the news in the morning, and they said, coming up, Simon Cowell's greatest failure. And I was like, I wonder who that could be. I didn't even think it was them. And it came on and it was them. And I was just like, what? And epic. It's like, then I started researching it and it's like, he was, epic. I mean, it was his fault. It's like, don't say that they're going to be bigger than the Spice Girls when the Spice Girls are still there. I don't even know if he is, but they did a Radio 1 interview for getting the number one before the single was out. Anyway, if he hadn't done that, I think they would have went a little bit further. I love
it. I think it just proves you can't catch lightning in a bottle. You can't mass produce lightning. It's meant to be or it's not meant to be. Did you watch them on their season of The Big Reunion?
I did.
You understand why that group didn't work. It's like, y'all are messy. Y'all are messy bitches. I was like, what?
Well, I mean, I'm sure Spice Girls had their moments too, but they were so kept, like, they were so reeled in. I don't think that should happen.
Girl Thing couldn't even hang it together through the rehearsal period. It's just like, Jesus, no wonder it didn't work out. Like, oh.
Yeah, that was crazy when they had the first meeting and like Lindsay got drunk and she was just like, yeah, that was crazy.
I was like, wow.
I think they should have done the tour though. I think them and Eternal should have done the tour, but I guess them and Eternal didn't want to do the tour. That's why they ended up doing it. Was just like the boys and 9-1-1-5 and
Liberty Blue. X.
It's like
Liberty X did the tour.
So anyway, well, that's cool. Now I have another girl group. Thank you for that because I need another one. Great.
You're welcome.
So my first show was in 1986 and I was 15. And it was in Irvine, California, which is about 90 minutes south of LA. It's an outdoor venue and the group was called Depeche Mode. And the album was called Black Celebration. And I was so excited to go. And it's one of those big venues where it's like, kind of the stage is here and it kind of goes up, 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 up. And there's a lawn section in the top. And
like an amphitheater kind of.
Like an amphitheater, yeah. And I was in the lawn section and they were like, probably like this big. But I was so excited to see them, just that, like the fact that like I was looking down and they were actually there was absolutely incredible. And at the time their label mates who were two of the songs that were in my coming out year, 1984, were done by this group. They had one called Boy and one called I Touch Roses, and the group was called Book of Love. And they were the support act and I didn't know they had an album out. So they did like five or six songs. And it was funny because like people in the lawn were booing them. It's like, dude, they were basically like, it was three girls and a guy, Ted, and Ted was gay. So I used to say they were like the female Depeche Mode because the setup was just the same, like three keyboards. And then Susan was the singer and she was out front doing it. They were Depeche Mode in the female version. So I was very excited to see that they were, like I said, they were supporting their fifth studio album, Black Celebration. And, something silly with me that I always talk about when I talk about going to see the show, when I was little, I used to bite my fingernails. And I don't really even know why, but I used to bite them almost to the point where they would bleed sometimes. And I remember I was going to grow my fingernails for that show just so I could paint them black, like Martin Gordon. There was a lot of work in progress to get to what this is.
Right? This really final picture.
What would I do if like 15 and 16 year olds were near me, like freaking the fuck out, you know?
Yes, the youth of it all.
America, yes. So that was the first show that I ever went to. And I don't even know how I must have lied to my mother and said I was going someplace else, because she was a church woman, and I don't think she knew. So that was the first show I ever went to, July 14th, 1986. That's where it all started. You're
very specific. I couldn't tell you a date, but I remember.
Hey, this is Brent from Probe 7, and you're listening to Is This Your Playlist?
So let's go through one of the ones that we didn't get to go see, and you can go if you like, Steve.
Okay. All right. All of mine have very personal connections to them. So my first show that if I was 5 years older, I would have gone to was Madonna's The Girly Show in 1993 here in Australia. I was told I was too young because at this point in time was, you know, sex and all that kind of stuff. So Madonna had graduated from everybody's 80s pop sweetheart to look at that dirty slut. Basically, that was the media narrative. Let's not pretend. Like, that was the media narrative. The Girly Show, I bought that DVD. That was one of the first DVDs we ever had, and have played it to the bone. Like, it is iconic, I think. One of her, like, that was the I don't give any fucks era of, like, middle finger up, short blonde hair. Like, it was great. And the track listing, the set list is, like, amazing. It's got all those 80s hits you love, but all that kind of sexy 90s stuff as well. Erotica, you know, Deeper and Deeper. She even does Dick Tracy stuff on there. Like, hello. Who doesn't want to see that?
And Bye Bye Baby was in it too.
Yes, exactly. So, that one I really missed out on. One of my old dance teachers actually went and said it was amazing, but sadly was not old enough, deemed not old enough to go and see Madonna prance around stage and, you know,
and have sex on the bed.
Yeah.
That was Blonde Ambition. She did that.
Yeah, that was Blonde Ambition. She was, this is where they started with the poles.
Oh yes.
They came down the poles and all that kind of stuff.
So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Question, riddle me this. No. So in 1993, if you were not old enough to go and see her, how old were you?
Oh my God. Let's do maths. Hold on. Let me do maths. I'm not good at maths, Kendrick. You just stop me now.
What year were you born?
83. So
you're 10.
10, yeah. Hello, what an idiot. I didn't even think about that.
Yes. Nerd, he's very smart, but just not with numbers.
I am the dumbest bitch when it comes to anything to do with numbers, unless it's a bank account. Like, unless it's my money. I know my money. But if you ask me, like, 2 times 2, I know that's 4. Like, I'm a dance teacher. I'd count to 8, and that's as far as I need to go. You know, that's what I do. My life is lived in 8s. So, 10-year-old me.
That's crazy. Well, could you have gone at 15?
I think I probably could have talked my way into it. At 15, I probably could have. I was working. I had my own money and stuff at 15 because I was working.
Yeah.
So I could have probably done it at 15.
Well, my first choice. I didn't really even think about concerts and that kind of stuff because by this point, this is 1983, this show that I'm going to talk about. I had been buying music for 80, 81, 82, so like 4 years. And the idea of going to see a show wasn't really even in my thought process because I was, you know, well, when they did this show, I was 12 because they did it in May of 83. But I remember getting the LA, I think my sister or my brother got the LA Times, and I flipped it open and it was a 2-page spread, and it said us 83. And I'm gonna go down the list of the people. That was 3 days. The first day was New Wave Day. It was, I'll go from the bottom to the top. Divinals, Your Neck, NXS, Wall of Voodoo. Isn't Wall of Voodoo Australian too?
You got me there. I know the Divinals, I know NXS.
Divinals, NXS, Wall of Voodoo, Oingo Boingo, Flock of Seagulls, English Beach, Stray Cats, Men at Work, and The Clash. That was New Wave. Sunday was Heavy Metal Day. Quiet Riot, Motley Crue, Joe Walsh, Ozzy Osbourne, Judas Priest, Triumph, Scorpions, and Van Halen. Third day was Rock Day. Los Lobos, Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul, Berlin, Quarter Flash, U2, Missing Persons, Pretenders, John Cougar, Stevie Nicks, and David Bowie.
Jeez Louise.
Now, I dreamt of going to that just because all the people that I loved at the time were there. And I think that's where I started thinking about concerts was that. And I mean, I printed this out, but I remembered it. Like, I remembered it. I could have done this off of memory, Now, one of the things that it was 60 miles east of LA. It was in San Bernardino at a place called the Glen Helen Park in San Bernardino. And Steve Wozniak, who is has something to do with Apple.
Apple co-founder, isn't he?
He has something to do with it. He came up with the concept, and he actually bankrolled it. This was the second year. The first year was 1982. I don't remember the lineup. I think it was like the Police, B-52s, Oingo Boingo, English Beat. This one was 9 months later, and they had a temporary stage, and now that stage is at Disneyland, and it used to be Videopolis, where they had Videopolis Star Tracks in the 80s. And the standout points for me were Stray Cats, because I love them. David Bowie was like, that was the last part of, I think that was the last show of his Serious Moonlight tour. So that was the end of that comeback tour. And I liked all the bands, but like the funniest thing for me now is to look at, because you know how, I mean, because Australia gets some good, you know, good artists and packages. So, you know, like when it's like, you know, the headliners appear in the openings like this, it's sort of like the opening is the smallest and then it gets a little bigger and a little bigger. And the fact that U2 is sixth on the list, it kind of showed you like where they came from and where they would become. Cause they would be, I mean, they'd be headliner now, but it was like, they were under Missing Persons. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing that stood out for me. I've seen video of it. I guess there are DVDs of the entire thing. Like, I believe there's a New Wave Day DVD, a Rock Day, and a Heavy Metal Day. And I've seen some of the clips. And you know, it's very 1983. And you don't go for the sound quality; you go for the spectacle. Some of them sounded great, and some of them did not. So that was the first time that like going to a show entered my brain. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about more shows here on Is This Your Playlist podcast with me and my friend Steve. So stay tuned. And for the listeners really quick that may not know who you are, Steve and I met at a show in Leeds of the UK. It was Steps, and we were both in the meet and greet. And you were in the same row as me, right?
We were. We were all together, actually. Everyone that we met, we all sat together. Crazy.
And I just remembered, like, I don't know. There were a lot of male fans there. So, I mean... I think I spoke to you and you were Australian. So I was like, oh my God, Australia. And I said this in the Steps episode, actually, I'm sure you looked over when I said goodbye was on and I was like, crying tears.
I was too. Yeah.
And this girl in front of me she turned around and she goes, oh yeah, okay.
You're okay, love.
But I was still, because I was still like, I was still, you know, Steve stuff. Ah. One for Sorrow took me down too. I was just like, words. It's like, I'm not supposed to be this emotional. But anyway,
it was amazing. It was an amazing show.
Yeah, that was a great show. That was one of the, that was one of my favorite shows. I thought that that show was beyond reproach.
Yes.
Beyond reproach. I don't know how they're going to do it now. I mean, they'll do a lot of medleys probably, but you know what? It's the way You Make Me Feel needs to go.
Yeah. Look, the way I look at it for this next tour, given that the 25th anniversary is literally next year, they're going to trade off it. You know that they're going to trade off their 25th anniversary. They should just go, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do a whole heap of new shit this tour. They've got Tears on the Dance Floor. They've got both versions, or by that time, they'll have both accompanying parts of what the future holds. Just do majority new stuff. And the general public have already bought their tickets. The ticket sales don't matter now. And when you say you're going to do a greatest hits tour, which of course they're going to do for the 25th anniversary, they're just going to be going, give me the money for the next couple of years. If I'm honest, I feel like we might be done at that point.
You think?
I feel like, yeah, just given, I don't think they ever expected to be as successful as they are now coming back. So depending on how this next half of the album is received, we'll see. But I just have a feeling that, you know, we might, after the 25th anniversary, things could be, you know, more questionable.
Well, Lee's a dad, so...
Yes, little Leo.
You know, it might, I mean, they might go out on top, or they might just think they're having so much fun and they're successful, they might keep it going, but...
We'll see.
We'll see. trust me, I didn't think they were going to break up the first time they broke up, because they said they weren't going to break up, but they did. You know,
we all know that story now.
They're so amazing, though. I love them.
Hey, this is Steve, and you're listening to Is This Your Playlist?
Welcome back to Is This Your Playlist podcast. My name's Kedrick. I'm your host, and I'm here with my friend Steve from Australia. Hello, Steve.
G'day again.
We are here talking about the shows that we missed and the shows we loved. And we are just moving along with it. And this one is kind of a no-brainer for me. If I was 5 years older, I could have gone to the show. I have the video, and I love the video, and I loved her, and she may have been talked about already, but for me, the show that I did not get to see that I missed was Madonna, the Virgin Tour.
There you go.
It was, for me, at that point in my musical life, she could do no wrong at all. When I was researching this show, and I kind of knew this, I knew this stuff, but it was interesting that they had planned a whole world tour, right? When Like a Virgin took off, the song. The record company, Sire, did not think she was going to be anything. So they scrapped the whole worldwide tour, and they just kept it to the US and Canada, which is so weird because, I mean, we know how it started and we know how it ended. You know, she was playing amphitheaters at the beginning, and she played my favorite venue in LA, and it's now torn down. It was called the Universal Amphitheater in Los Angeles. I've seen some of the best shows at that amphitheater, and I would have loved to have seen her. The Beastie Boys were the support act because she was dating Ad Rock at the time, and they got booed because an a room full of Madonna bees do not want to see the Beastie Boys and their vulgar stuff and blah, blah. And Run DMC was actually support act as well on some of the shows. I mean, you know how she's kind of like wanting to be a little edgy. It's like, oh, okay, here's me. And I'm going to bring the Beastie Boys with me because they're kind of not like me. I truly believe that the Virgin Tour was the only tour for her that she was being completely 100% honest. There was no spectacle. There was just her and the dancers, and I loved it. I loved it, loved her. She could do no wrong. I bought the Virgin Tour video, and I was kind of like, probably what most people were asking when they bought the video, where's Angel? Where's Burning Up? Where's Borderline? Did she not sing those? She couldn't have not sung those. And for years, I thought she didn't sing those songs because why wouldn't they be on the thing? Later on, when I was old enough, I read that they were so awful that they didn't want to put them on. Now, oops. You know, here's the thing. Madonna, at the beginning, okay, Crazy for You's on the video. Okay, we all were fans, but we knew she couldn't sing, and she knew it too. Madonna, at that time, she was just out there, and she just did it. She knew she could not sing. So I'm thinking, how bad could Angel and Burning Up and Borderline have been? Well, later on, when there was a whole, like, there's a whole video, Angel was kind of weird, the way that the staging was. There was a lot of balloons and stuff. That was weird. But Burning Up and Borderline sounded just fine. I don't know why they didn't put them on there, but that was kind of weird. And my second favorite Madonna song of all time was performed on that, and it is one that people do not know a lot about. It is called Gambler. Gambler, and I will take you by surprise. I love Gambler.
I know Gambler.
I love Gambler. And it's not on anything, which is weird. I mean, it's on Vision Quest soundtrack, and I have that on cassette.
Boom, everyone.
Boom, gotcha. No, but yeah, that was one that I always wish I could have seen at the Universal Amphitheater, because by the time it got to where they filmed the Virgin Tour, it was arenas. And yeah, she even said in interviews that doing the arena scared her because she was not used to singing in front of that many people. But yeah, she looked amazing. I just thought it was very simplistic, and I think it was just heard her most honest, because she just went out there and did it. There was no spectacle, no like, I'm gonna hump the bed or something. It was just like, it was the Virgin Tour. And yeah, so what you got?
Very nice. What have I got next? Okay, next one. I found the date for you, because this person, I kick myself because I've only rectified this situation within the last just over 18 months. December 9th, December 10th, 1998, an icon came to town, an icon by the name of Janet, Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. And I never got to see the Velvet Rope Tour, and that album blew my mind. I was 15 at the time, so it's like the right age to kind of be listening to that album. And like, I feel like I got really lucky growing up. Like, there are certain albums that and certain things that have just popped up at the right time, and to go from knowing someone, you know, we all know we are a part of the Rhythm Nation, et cetera, to go to that album and the album before it as well. We couldn't afford it. We couldn't. I was told, I begged, I pleaded, I cried, I did everything. We could not afford the price for Miss Jackson, sadly, at that point.
How much were tickets, if you remember?
I don't remember exactly how much tickets were, but just family-wise and everything, it was just not a good time. So
okay.
I'd only just started working as well. Like, I'd gotten my own job and had my own money. So I couldn't afford it personally. And then when I asked, it was like, especially because that era was so, you know, sexual and explicitly so. I feel like that might have been part of it as well. I was 15. I think I could have handled it. Like, I had the album. You know what I mean? The album was playing around the house. But yeah, that one hurt. That one hurt a lot. Because she was in town. That's the thing. She was in town. She was like, probably 30 minutes from my house back at the time. And I know people that went. It's just like, oh, why? Janet and I have a very complicated relationship when it comes to concerts, but it's okay. Yeah. And luckily it's on DVD. Like, luckily for me, these ones that I missed, I can watch.
Right.
And I can watch them from my own country. It's not like it's so separated that it was only an American tour or only a UK tour. They were here. I just couldn't go, which is... And if I was 20, I definitely would have been there. Like, hello, I would have... Steel. But yeah, that's my other one. Second one.
One of my favorite songs is on that one. Mm-hmm. And it is called... Hold on. You?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my...
Second song on the tour, actually.
Yep, that's my favorite song on that album. Don't hate me.
But okay, but...
I saw that show one time.
Oh.
In Chicago. We flew there because of the support act.
Oh God, who was it? You just have to tell me. I can't see. I can see a boy band.
NSYNC.
Ah, oh, every little thing I do.
So we saw it. Wow. It was intense. It was really intense.
An intense show. That's what I like. It was theatrical. It was emotional. It was everything I think a teenage person felt and needed, or a younger person that's coming into finding their own identity and, you know, dealing with big feelings and big issues, but in a good way. Like, yeah, I find that very cathartic album. I was like, when I listened to it, you're like, yeah, go Janet. Like, she was really coming into her power in a major way and reflecting the music. So, yeah, that's my big regret.
I kind of feel like with her, it was like that was definitely the start of the sexual Janet era. I think it went on a little too long and a few too many albums. I think that I know exactly how she likes to have sex all the time. Strawberry Bounce. You know what I mean?
Girl. Like,
But yeah, I saw that one. It was good.
I have jealousy.
I'm jealous.
I have jealousy.
So my last one, and it's the third one, and it's probably the biggest one of all. They were my favorite group at the time, and they were the first band that I had to follow. And, oh my God, it's right. I just can't believe I'm wearing a shirt. It was Duran Duran Sing Blue Silver Tour, 1984, the big tour that you see in all the videos, Arena, Sing Blue Silver, As the Lights Go Down. My co-host, Risa, she actually saw it, and she said it was incredible. And this girl that I met at their San Diego show of their last tour, Drainer's last tour, she went. And she was at the Oakland one where they filmed the Reflex video. And I asked her what it was like, and she said it was great, but she said it was just a wall of screens. Just like everything that they say it was, they just said like the lights went down, they started singing, and it was just like screams, just like, you know, that was just a wall of screens. And but she said it was incredible to be there for the filming of the Reflex video, because she didn't know that it was going to be filmed, and they had the little signs out front that they were going to film it. And it played the Forum February 6th and 7th, 1984, and the Oakland Coliseum April 6th, 7th, and 8th, 1984. And I wouldn't have even, like, I don't even think I would have known how to go, because I was 13. I think a girl that I went to school with, Twyla, she was a black girl, and she was the girl that would wear the trench coat with all the buttons to school. And if you talk shit about Duran Duran, I have seen it, Steve. I've seen her punch someone in the face.
I love it.
She was tough. So the Bengals were the support act on that tour. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Because they were still in the, they were sort of in the Hero Takes a Fall era, but then like Manic Monday was kind of coming out. So, and then when I did see Duran Duran the first time was 1987 for the Strange Behavior Tour. And the night that I went, the Bengals came out and sang If She Knew What She Wants with them. So that was cool. When we were in lockdown, you know, I had a lot of time to watch stuff, and I kind of got emotional just because I guess I was grateful for where my life was at that point. I was watching the Reflex video. Okay, here's the thing. Reflex video is played out. I've seen it a million times, played out. I watched it one night, and there's a part, I don't know if you even know the video, but there's a part where they show these two guys like doing this 80s dance, and I went down in flames. Because I was like, I don't even know why it happened, but it was sort of like, they were having so much fun, and that was probably so much fun for them. And so I called my friend Janelle, this girl that I have known since I was like 15. She was 12. Isn't that a song? Anyway, so I called her up and I was in tears, and she's always worried about me, you know, given my history of substance stuff. And she's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm cool. I just watched the Reflex video and I'm bawling. And she's like, oh. So I would have loved to have seen it. I just never got to. And that was another one, like when they did Arena, the album Arena, I mean, they just basically picked 9 songs from the set list to release. And here's the thing, when it came out in 84, it was like, you know, we as fans of Duran Duran at that point, we were like, where's Girls on Film?
Yeah.
Where's Rhea? You know what I mean? We were just like, it was kind of like,
where's the hits?
Yeah, I mean, the it was kind of like a letdown a little bit, you know? And so then they reissued it in 2004, and it has Girls on Film and Rhea. But I actually heard on YouTube, which is an amazing thing. YouTube is an amazing thing, especially for things like you said, you can watch the whole shows.
Yeah.
On YouTube. I mean, there's shows that I've seen on YouTube that I couldn't have seen because somebody was recording it, or they did like a video, you know, a DVD or whatever. And I finally listened to a whole show of that tour, and it was like, wow, it was so cool to listen to it. So,
yeah.
So that's my last one. And who's your last one on your list,
Michael? Okay, my last one is only fairly recent. Fairly recent. It's actually 8 years ago. But, okay, so 8 years ago, I hadn't traveled by myself at this point. And if it was today, or well, not today, obviously, because I can't go anywhere, can't really even leave the house. But if it was, you know, within the last 5 years, I definitely would have been there with bells on. You know, I had a little slight inkling when they announced, so I would love to go to that. I wonder, and then I went, oh no, you can't do that. That'd mean traveling all the way to the UK by yourself. The tour I'm talking about would be 10, the Hits Tour by Girls Aloud. I am now. Look, I was a Girls Aloud fan. I bought the album, first album, because no one here knew who they were, all that kind of stuff. I knew it because, you know, Pop Stars Arrivals message, internet forums were just starting to be a thing, like, you know, back in when they came about. But my ex was a huge Girls Aloud fan, and Girls Aloud and Sugar Babes, which I was a fan of both of them anyway. So, yeah, we lived a very Girls Aloud existence for the three years, a week off 3 years that we were together. And yeah, when it came after they'd gone away, and you know, they disappeared for a while, they're coming back. We're coming back with an album, the greatest hits album. We're coming back with a tour. And I knew them. I went, this will be the last time that I ever get to see them. And then I was like, and I ummed and ahed. And then I went, oh no, you can't do it. You can't go by yourself. And then literally the last night of the tour, they announced All Over Red Rover. And now sadly, Sarah Harding is battling cancer that is spreading quite rapidly. So Girls Aloud are the ones that got away. I love their music. I think that they were a spectacular force in pop music, and especially that genre of reality TV show pop music, of acts that weren't supposed to be successful but were, like My Local People, Bardo, Girls Aloud, Liberty X, all that kind of thing. Like, I've got a soft spot for that. I think that they definitely made an impact. But yeah, I will always regret not going to see that tour.
I knew Girls Aloud were. I wasn't a fan of Sound of the Underground at first. I really, really did like No Good Advice. That was really the one that I really liked. I was not a fan of Life Goes On, but I loved, and this is one of those groups, it's hard to do a cover, Girls on Film. That's where I love it. And I feel like, oh God, we could go, we need to, see, now that I know that you're Girls Aloud, we're going to have to do one. I really thought that they found their stride, and it was the first one that I really, 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 really liked was Biology.
Yeah, Biology is probably their best album.
I feel like they finally got their footing as far as like fashion. I mean, I understand, you know, you want the girl groups to come out and you want them to each have their own little, you know, look, but it was just a little too disjointed for me. And I've never really been a fan of the whole, like, you kind of don't know who's singing until like you kind of get their voices. Because we're used to like a Spice Girl situation where you know Mel C's gonna sing this, or you know Emma's gonna sing this. Biology was the first one. The video was amazing. They looked amazing. I love those pink dresses. Sarah always looks like she's gonna fall. Watch Biology video. It looks like Sarah's gonna fall. It looks like she's just gonna tip over to the left. Yeah, and I just thought they were amazing. And when I saw the press conference for the reunion, Nicola and Sarah, I didn't recognize them because they had so much work done, those two. And I was like, okay. And they said, well, we're going to come back with something new. And
literally,
Steve, when I heard that motherfucker, I was like, oh my God. It's like, that's what you guys came back with? Whoa. And you probably know this, but, and she's done it twice. They weren't going to release The Promise first. And Nadine said, we don't do The Promise, I'm not doing it. Period. Same thing with this. They wanted to release Beautiful Because We Love You first.
Beautiful Because You Love Me, yes.
And Nadine was like, sorry. And she said, if we don't do something new, I'm not coming back to the reunion. You go, girl. Mm-hmm. And when I saw, it's giving me chills right now. It was so good. It was like, I feel like
the thing with that song, yeah, it's a battle cry, that song. It's like, we're back and we're gonna fuck you up. And I will forever be upset that they didn't just record a couple more songs and make 10 an album, because the stuff that they did for it was all good. Even Beautiful Because You Love Me, I know a lot of people hate that song, but for I feel like there's like On the Metro is an amazing song. Every Now and Then, those songs were so strong, it would have only taken them to record like five more for a complete album. And yeah,
I mean, every now and then, you know, when it's like now and then, and it's like that, and when it like da 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 ba ba, I was like, hard on. So, Sarah, I also, you know, I also saw that. Now, I don't know how, I don't know if it's, I haven't really heard too much about it lately. I don't know if it's progressed or whatever. They're keeping them, I haven't really heard that much. Now, do you think that they'll go out as a four-piece if she passes? You don't think so?
No, I think it's over. I think especially because those three are so tight, Nicola, Cheryl, and Kimberly. I don't think Nadine would do it alone, if that makes sense. She had Sarah, like, as her offsider that was not part of that nucleus that was ultimately, I guess, what broke him. I'm looking back at the news articles. It's actually really quite sad. As of the 15th of March, there was I Won't See Another Christmas, says Sarah Harding.
See, that's what I read too, but it's like I kind of feel like you would not put that out if it was true. I mean, because that's dramatic. Unless you're gonna put it out and then like, oh, miraculous, got back, whatever.
I don't, yeah. Look, having been through that cancer journey recently with my dad, like, it's from what she said, it's not really the best outlook for her. It doesn't feel like there's going to be a good outcome, but she's trying to be as positive as she can. She released her autobiography, so she got that out there. I think, yeah, now it's just more about her doing what she wants to do. Obviously, COVID has knocked any kind of Girls Aloud anything on its head. And yeah, I think that sadly, we won't see them again. I can't see them doing it as a four piece.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, oh, but yeah.
But I mean, people have surprised us.
Look, so. People do. So yeah, look, miracles happen every day. So, and it would be fantastic to see them back on stage together. And hopefully they could work out their issues. Like, I mean, if Steps and All Saints can work it out, and Robbie can work it out with Take That, like,
anybody can.
Their stuff isn't anywhere near as dramatic as, you know what I mean? But
as two of your members saying before you go on stage, that you're filming a show. Oh, we quit.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened. Well, that's what happened to poor Nadine after their last date as well. The others are like, this is the press release we're handing out. You got to sign it.
You know what? Here's the thing. I feel like they're jealous of her because she has the best voice, period. Yeah. She's got the best voice.
Here's what it is. I think Nicola's definitely jealous of her. You can tell Nicola does not like her. They like won't stand next to each other. She shrugs her off when she like there's just like little body language things. And then I think Cheryl just didn't need it anymore. Cheryl was the star. And she didn't need it. Like, and the other two, well, Kimberly never really got to sing anyway. I think she just fell in line because she was, you know, their friend. But I think that there's definite issues. I think the major issue is Nicola and Nadine. I think that they have issues big time with each other. Because Nicola's such a talented vocalist, and I can understand. I guess it's like the Melanie Thornton situation with Pussycat Dolls. Like, we're meant to be, you know, we're meant to be a five-piece group. And when one person, and let's face it, Cheryl was also up there with the lead because she has a tone, she has a different tone to her voice. She's the face body brand of the group, whether people like it or not. Like, Girls Aloud, do you think Cheryl Cole? And I love Cheryl. I love her solo stuff, but you could, I think she was content doing it though. I think the pressure to break up maybe came from Nicola and Kimberly wanting, I think Kimberly's always wanted to do West End stuff, which she did, but also have a family, which she did. So I guess, you know, when your job relies on four other people, it's hard.
And also when your livelihood revolves around one person who can kill it, that kind of sucks too.
I think Cheryl was
produced well. When she was on the Queen's 80th Jubilee or something like that, and she sang About You Now with Gary Barlow. Dude,
that was just that was a weird flex, man. That was the weirdest flex I've ever seen.
Her voice sounded like crap.
I don't think anyone actually sounded good at that concert though, to be honest, because Gary didn't even sound that hot.
Gary sounded like an angel.
Of course he did. That's right. Sorry, I forget.
Gary Barlow can do no wrong.
Unless you're Robbie Williams.
Anyway, so, well, I mean, I would have, okay, so, God, we're ending this on such a dark note. I would have loved to have seen the Out of Control tour, because do you know who the support acts were on that tour? I'll tell you.
Were the Saturdays Out of Control?
Yes.
Yes.
Saturdays and Girls Can't Catch.
Oh God!
Fuck me, that would have been so amazing, and the way that they did the promise, and they came up on the stage, and they were talking about that, and like Nadine was like, at first she was like, oh no, hell no, because Nadine doesn't like heights, and she said the first four or five shows she was petrified, but just like, dude, you're strapped in, there's nothing gonna happen. Yeah. But yeah, Girls Allow the Saturdays and Girls Can't Catch. That would have been a fucking amazing show. That's another one, Saturdays. We'll talk about them next time.
So, I love a messy girl group.
Yeah. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of another episode of Is This Your Playlist podcast. It's very late for me. I've been working all day. It's 10 p.m. for me. And it's 3:30 for you,
three-ish. Yeah.
Playlisters, you can't see this video right now, or maybe you can. Steve's just like, okay, it's 3:00. He's got his arms on his head. He's just like, oh, ready to go.
We just got put into a statewide lockdown 15 minutes ago, so I'm not going anywhere.
Thank you for listening. Playlisters, Steve, thank you so much again for doing this for me.
My pleasure.
I am trying to keep this, like, I'm doing like a five summer series, kind of like five in a row, just a quick summer thing. So this is the third one, and so I'm trying to keep that going to where like every Sunday there's a new one out. And cool. Reese and I are going to do two more. And I am next Saturday, next Friday, actually, the 20th of August, I am doing my very, very first game show.
Wow.
It's called People Puzzler. It's on the Game Show Network. And do you know who Leah Remini is?
Of course I know Leah Remini. We had her sister Nicole on our show.
She's the host. It's basically it's a crosswords puzzle game from People Magazine. So it's basically like pop culture and fun facts.
Yeah. That's cool. That's you. Fun. Yeah.
I, you know, I mean, I basically, the email was in my spam, and it was like, you know, I always get those things, casting for game shows, and I was like, whatever. And it said People Puzzler with Leah Remini. I was like,
I love her.
That's exactly what I said. I was like, well, let me just send off, you know, my name and stuff. Because I'm in this mode right now of trying to do things that are out of my comfort zone and following through with them, whether it turns out or not.
Yeah.
And I just kind of said, let me send it. And just, you know, back and forth stuff, wardrobe stuff, blah, blah, blah. And they invited me to come. And I'm going to be there next Friday.
That's so exciting.
When they did a Zoom, they did a Zoom audition. So one of the casting directors called me, and she was recording it from her side. And there's three people. They have two puzzles. Whoever has the most points out of that, the two people, then they go head to head. They give you a puzzle. It's like 9 words, and they give you 60 seconds to guess all the words.
Oh God, yeah.
And so the casting director gave me 3 choices. I don't even remember what the first one was, but it was like 1970s. I picked 1970s and pop divas. I was guessing them before she even said the clue. Seven letter word starts with W, Whitney. She's like, how did you do that? I was like, I don't know, I just did.
I'm gay.
5 down, 5 letters. First letter starts with A, Adele. She's like, how are you doing that? So it's like, and I've watched all the episodes, and Steve, I can win this.
Do it.
It's shit that like I've had in my head forever. I mean, yeah, it's literally a pop culture and fun fact. So I will let you know when I'm going to be on it. I'm very excited about that. So,
That's so cool.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely day. And I will let you know when this is out. And I just love you to pieces. So just thank you. Thank you so much for doing this. And playlisters, thank you for listening. Risa should be back next week. And we have 2 more episodes in the Summer 5. And I will see you soon. And Steve, good night.
Good night.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight to Is This Your Playlist? If you are tuning in for the first time and like what you've heard, please like and subscribe. We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please join Kedrick and Rissa next time for more fun facts and witty banter. My name is Joey. Thank you, and good night.